Here we start in the top of Ein Gimon Aleph by the Mishnah, where it says, Elohein Shematzalino Tan Bin Nafshan. These are individuals who you can save by taking their lives. Hodeif Achar Chaviro Lahar Go. Someone is chasing another individual in order to kill them. V'achar HaZachar, someone who wants to, is running after a male to sodomize them. V'achar HaNara HaMurasa. And also after a woman who will use again, lately is engaged, the Betula who is engaged. Father Odei Fachara Beima, someone is chasing down an animal to perform bestiality with him. V'hamechalelet HaShabbat, someone who violates the Shabbos. V'oveid Ovedat Kochovim, Eim Matzilino Otam B'Nafshan. None of these do you prevent them from performing these acts by taking their lives. So again, they have three examples of individuals whose lives will be taken in order to do what. But so we say that one is that someone is chasing his friend to kill him, one is chasing a zachar to perform sodomize him, and the last is naram rasa, someone chasing after a narasa to rape her. So all three of these require the taking of the life. The other three that examples that you don't take the life for, if you're chasing after a behemah, mechalal to Shabbat, noved, abadat kochavim, none of these require. We have Tanaim that we're going to see in the Braita that disagree with that. That's the position of the Tana of our Mishnah. Turn Banan. Minayim l'rodef achar chaviro l'harogo, shnitan l'atzilo b'nafsho. Where do you know this from? How do you know that you could take someone else's life to protect the individual? I mean, when someone is rodef, so we use the term here, that's the term that's used by the Gemara, by the Rishonim, and everyone that is called the Rodef. How do we know that a Rodef is allowed, you're allowed to take his life in order to protect the life of the individual who he is intending to kill? So Tamad, because, I mean, just think logically, in general, we have mitzvot Torah, which are Yehirag via Al Yavor. There are three mitzvot which you're allowed to, right, you have to take your life, give up your life, and not violate the mitzvah. So over here, one of them happens to be murder. So if you have to give up your life and not murder, then maybe the same should be true here by Rodef. Why should you be able to kill the Rodef to protect someone else's life? Again, that's making a decision of Dochim Nefesh Mipnei Nefesh. Why is that permissible? So the Gemara says, because it says, from this week's Parsha, right, Kedoshim, Tamad Omar, Lo Tamod Odam Reacha. You can't stand idly by, right, when your friend is in trouble. The Gemara says, V'hal Ahachi Udato. This comes to teach us about the Parsha of Rodef. We need it for the bright. See your friend's drowning. Right, or an animal is dragging him away. Or marauders are coming to grab him away. That you are required to save him. You can't stand idly by while your friend is in trouble. And it says, that's true. You're right. That's what we need it for. So first of all, what you see from here is that lo tamod al dam reyacha is a requirement to save one's friend. It's clear from the Gemara over here that saving one's friend will not come at the cost of someone else's life. I mean, that you could have extended to its, the ultimate conclusion or its far-reaching results or logic, which would be that even to kill someone else to protect your friend, that's lo tamod al dam reyacha. But it's clear from the Gemara that you would not learn that from this pasuk. The only thing you can learn from lo tamod al dam reyacha is that you must intervene in a case where your friend is in danger, not at the cost of someone else's life. Now the question, that's a very difficult question, is how much risk do you have to take in order to protect your friend? What risks are you allowed to take? Do you have to risk your life to save your friend's life? Now, that has different manifestations. One of them, which happens to be a machlokas in the Tshuvos, even a machlokas in the Achronim, even till today, is about, for instance, donating blood. If you donate blood to your, in order to save someone else's life, are you permitted to do such a thing, to donate blood? If apheresis, are you allowed to donate platelets? Are you allowed to donate white blood cells? Are you allowed to donate an organ to save someone else's life?
Maybe there are a few.
Right. I mean, are you allowed to? Maybe you're obligated to. So now with donating blood and these others, there are actually two issues. One is a chovel. Are you allowed to, which a person's not allowed to damage their own body for no reason. So you have to be chovel. Here you have to be chovel the body. Number two is, there is a certain amount of sakana that you enter into. Are you permitted to enter into that sakana in order to help your friend? So it happens to be that the Tzitz Eliezer is a Tshuvahman Tzitz Eliezer who in general felt that you were not obligated in this case, you were allowed to, but not obligated because of the risks associated with it. There are others Like the Radbaz spoke about it. Another shoot, I think it was even said, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Bishmo, it was said over many times that he was he held in high esteem those that helped to get donated blood in order to save other people's lives. I think there are famous stories about that. But you see that, again, they're dealing with this issue. How much, what's my obligation to put myself into danger? This also comes up with, for instance, a Ben Noach. What's my obligation if I donate the blood? And if it's going to a Ben Noach, am I permitted to be Chobel Be'atzmi? Am I permitted to risk or take on certain risks in order to protect the Ben Noach? Or is it only true by Israel? So, for instance, by donating of blood. In Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, it's not much of an issue. But in Chutz La'aretz, it is a much bigger issue. Is when you donate into a blood bank, you're not certain, or there's a kasha, whether it'll actually end up being used by a recipient, a Jewish recipient. So Al Arov, we generally say most poskim believe that it's fine because there's enough of a sikui, enough of a possibility that it will end up with a Jewish recipient, and even for Ben Noach, maybe it's permissible. The harder issues are when it's a directed donation. I mean, for instance, apheresis, which is when they take out platelets or white blood cells, the shelf life of those is very short. They only last about, I think, 48 hours, 72 hours. So with the time that you donate them, they have to know who it's going to. Otherwise, it's a waste to take them. So they usually know who the recipient is. If they know who the recipient is already, you can't be al harov. You're not being somech on the rov already. They know who they're giving it to.
You don't know who you're doing.
Right, so that's not enough. Not enough that you don't, the fact that you don't know is not enough. But they know once they sign the paper. They know when you're taking it out already, they know exactly who it's going to on the papers. So there's a question, I've asked another viewer a question about whether you can do it. I guess I remember I spoke to Rabbi Temler about it, who felt that Ben Noach has a tzelem elokim, and he didn't feel there was any issue with being chovel batzmo, there was no issue to save another person's life. And tzelem elokim, he felt that it wasn't even a shaila. When I spoke to Rabbi Shechter, he was a little more wary of that, and felt that if a person's chovel batzmo, they have to be careful. You know, mishum eva maybe, but he wasn't willing just to give a blanket out there to be chovel batzmo to help others. But again, the question of whether you're allowed to take such risks or how much risks you have to take is the shayla rishonim achronim. Even in the tshuvah, we just discussed or touched on it for donations of blood. Just a small sampling of what's out there on this issue of lo tamaro demreacha. So where it says, okay. Okay, so if you're going to use lo tamaro demreacha for that, what about this idea that you can kill a rodev? So where do we know this from? So it says, "Achim mikavachomer minara amuratsa." Learn that from kavachomer from nara musar. Why? Ma nara amuratsa shelo ba elolafogma. In the case of nara musar, where he's only coming to pogame her, I mean that the problem with nara amuratsa is, I mean the fact that he's anes her, that he rapes her. The problem is that he's also causes her tzar, busha, pgam. There's all these issues that come up, but that's the. In one sense, it's a limited pigam because she's still alive afterwards. But when it comes to a rodef, when it comes to murder, that's the ultimate pigam. The ultimate pigam, you know, when the Rabbeinu Tam talks about Mali, right, Chabura Mixas, Mali Chabura Bekulo, or is it Mali Misa Mixas, or Mali Misa Bekulo, when he's dealing with the Chabura and Shabbos. He says, what's the difference between killing and the difference between injuring? One's a small wound and one's a very big wound. So it's over here. This is a partial begam when you affect a woman. A full begam is that you kill somebody. So that's the kal v'chomer over here. So ma nara murasa shlo ba'la fogma amra Torah nitan la'tzila b'nafsho. So over there, when you're only coming to do a small begam, you're mutar to take the life of the person who's perpetrating the crime. When it comes to chasing down his friend, how could you ever do such a thing? I mean, of course you can go ahead and take his life because he's going to kill him. There's no question that you can take his life in this instance. Okay, so that's the Gemara. The Gemara is side, and then we'll get to that. Wait a minute, what do you mean? This is a Kal V'Chomer. We're not Onesh Min Adin. Again, you can learn Halacha Min Adin, but you can't learn the Onesh. This is, we're telling you exactly what the Onesh is. This is a very important little line here. I'm going to come back to it. What does it mean?
Onshin?
Okay, very good. So I'm going to come back to that. Excellent. Mechi onshin min adin is the implication. We have to ask. We'll ask this question in 1 second. Debei Rebbe Tano Hekeshu. So now, Rebbe says it's not a kavuchomer, it's a hekesh. Why is it hekesh? Because the pasuk says in Parshat Ki Tetzeh, in the parsha of Nara Murasa, it says Ulo Nara Lo Taseh Davar. Don't do anything to the woman. This is a woman who's been raped in the field, had no ability to save herself. She couldn't scream. There was nobody around. So it says that the Nara Lo Taseh Davar Ki Ein La Nara Chayk Mishpat Mavet. She doesn't have a death penalty. She didn't do anything wrong. Ki kasher yakom isha reu tzachol nefesh, right? Kena davar hazeh. That this is just like a person who gets up to kill his friend. So now, this is, now, first of all, that's the Hekesh. The Hekesh teaches you that there is a connection between Ritzicha and Nara Hamurasa. V'chi malamadnu mirotzeach. Right, so now, what do we know from mirotzeach? Mi'ata. Harei zeh ba lilamed. It comes to teach. V'nimtza. Now, all the Gersot here read Nimtza lamed. But many, like Tosos and Rashi, both have a Gersot v'nimtza af lamed, which makes more sense. That this came to teach, but in the end, it ended up learning. I mean, at the point of the puzzle, the way the puzzle is structured, it seems to indicate that Ritzicha is coming to teach you something about Nara Hamurasa. The Nara Hamurasa is exactly like Rotzeach Nefesh. So that's coming, it sounds like Rotzeach is teaching you something about Nara Hamurasa. But in the end, it comes not only to teach something about Nara Hamurasa, but Nara Hamurasa also teaches you something about a Rotzeach. So one of them, the thing that they learn from Rotzeach, which we're going to get to, it's tomorrow's daf and the following day's daf, which is a Yerek Val Yavor. The din that by Rotzeach, you have a din of Yerek Val Yavor that also applies to Arayot. So that's the Hekesh that will go in that direction. The Hekesh in this direction, which is what we're going to learn, we're going to learn that just like a Nara Hamurasa, you're permitted to kill the perpetrator of the crime in order to stop the crime being committed, so too by Ritzicha, you're allowed to kill the perpetrator of the crime in order to stop the Ritzicha over here. That's the Lamed part. So it came to teach and ends up learning. Make ish Ritzicha in Nara Marasa. Ma Nara Marasa nitan latzila bin nafsho. Like a Nara Marasa comes, you can save it. You can save her through his life. Af Ritzicha nitan latzila bin nafsho. So too with the Ritzicha. You can save him with his life. Minara, minurasa, gufa minalan. So this is Shaul's question. Where do you know Nara Marasa from? The Tana Rabbi Shmuel, it says in the pasuk before that we just read, by Nara Marasa, it says the reason that she is patur is because Ein Moshi Allah. There is no one there to save her. She couldn't scream out, and because there was Ein Moshi Allah. Ha yesh Moshi Allah, b'chol davar shechol Oshia. I mean, that the fact is, the puzzle says that there was no savior, indicating if there was a savior, he would have stepped in and he could do whatever it takes to save the woman. So here's the source for Rodef, in the sense it says of Rodef, and Nara Marasa is allowed to kill the Me'anes in this case because it says, "E Moshiach, if there is a Moshiach, kill him." And from that, the Hekesh between Nara Marasa and Rotzeach, we extend that to Rotzeach as well to teach you that if someone is running after their friend to kill them, that you can stop them by killing them. Right, so that's the basic framework. Now, in the Lashon, or the Girsa here, you see Rashi and the Tosfot are dealing with the problem in the Girsa, and that comes back to Shaul's question, means what's the Onish here? And I'll explain to you what the possibilities are, and then I'll show you inside why, or how that manifests itself. The question is, why is it mutar to kill this individual? Right? There are three possibilities that you really could come up with about why you can kill this individual. This individual is about to perpetrate a crime. Why is it that you're allowed to kill them? So the three possibilities. One is, you're actually, he is Chayav Mita now. This action of chasing his friend to kill him, or anes and Nara Marasa, when he goes into that act, he becomes chayev mita, and then you become basically the shliach beis din to execute him. I mean, that the Torah now permits you, it's a certain form of vigilantism, that the Torah now permits you to enter the fray over here and punish this individual.
So that,
no. Once the crime is committed, it doesn't happen anymore. So that should. It might be that once he's done the crime, it's already entered the realm of Beis Din, official realm of Beis Din, and you can no longer enter the fray in order to execute on half of Beis Din. I mean, that it enters the normal process, due process of Beis Din. Before that point, since there are other mitigating factors, and I'll say this in a second, that it's likely, very likely, that the answer is a combination of these three. Because you'll see that the Gemara has issues, and each one of them leans towards one side. You have to ask. The other way to explain it is simply that to stop him from performing an Avera. The Torah permits you, in this case, to stop him from performing an Avera. It's even a more like an unusual form of vigilantism. We want to prevent this guy from being murdering. We want to prevent him from killing another individual. So to save him from performing the Avera, we allow you to take his life. Then the last possibility, which is like probably the one that most people would think of, is to save the victim. Right, to save the victim. I mean, why is it that here you're allowed to jump in to protect the victim? That's what the Torah permits here. So I give you three examples. Either it's an onesh, or it's a permitted by the Torah to stop him from performing a veira. And the last possibility is that it's to protect the nirdaf. Now you're going to see in Rashi, I'll just show you Rashi now. Rashi says something strange, which then already indicates to you that he's maybe going a different way. Tosos comes up and shows you maybe the Lashon of the Gemara is funny. Rashi says, "Vaymana ram rasa nitan hatzila." Rashi over there says, "So what would you have thought? Mana ram rasa nitan hatzila, latzila from what? To save her? I mean, that's save her. To save her from him. No, what does Rashi say? Latzila minha avera. Wait, which avera? Who is it? Why? What is Rashi? What's Rashi mentioning the avera over here? So Rashi seems to be talking about that you're saving her by killing him, but saving him sounds like they're preventing me. You're saving him by taking his life. You're saving him from performing the Aveira. Now, if you think I'm reading something into Rashi, let's look at Tosus. Tosus over here already has a problem with Lashon HaGemara. So you pointed a little bit out in the Mishnah, but Tosus says here, says, Latzilo bin Nafsho. So now, what is it? So he goes, Mashma'ut HaLashon.
Rashi has...
We're going to see. Tosus has the problem in a second. Atzilo b'nafsho is by Rotzeach. So Atzilo b'nafsho says, Mashma'ut HaLashon, the simple reading of the Lashon is, Shematzalim anirdaf b'nafsho sho rodef. Right? It's oitakein the fereshkein. He says, can't read it that way. Can't read it that way. B'rodef achar ha-behema. Now what are you going to say by rodef achar ha-behema? Elo matzilin otam b'nafshan, or elo she'im matzilin otam b'nafshan. Right? That's a rodef achar ha-behema. Whose nefesh are you saving when he's running after the behema? So it says it's very difficult to read it now. Matzilo, whose nefesh? You're saving the behema's nefesh? He says, what's that? You're worried about the behema, so you kill him. And it's clearly not the case. By Rodev Achar Behema, Mechalot the Shabbos, Avodah Zarah, we're not worried about the, you know, we're not, obviously not worried about the victim. There are no victims in some of these cases. And by behema, the victim is behema. Clear there that you're trying to prevent him from performing an aveira. Now Tosus runs into a problem. Uchayotzeba. Lefikach nira lefereish shematzilin et adam in aveira b'nafsho shel atzmo. Thus it says it's a problem I'm saving from aveira. So here's the other, this is the alternative, but I was reading it like Rashi. But now he goes to Rashi's problem and he runs into a new problem. Avokasha. Rashi's reading of Naramasa is very difficult because it says like this, read it. The Kamar. Shitain behatzila b'nafsho. Wait, the Lashon HaGemara is Nitan Lahatzila b'nafsho. That shouldn't have been the case. It should be, if this is the case, it should be written Nitan Lahatzilo b'nafsho. It should have read the same way. It should have stood in the male form, even in the case of Naram Rasa. The fact that it changes over to the female formulation of Lahatzila b'nafsho sounds like you're saving her from him. It means that you're a victim. You're trying to protect the victim. And that's Rashi's a funny reading. Rashi writes, Manar Rasa Nitan Lahatzila b'nafsho b'nafsho. Who's Aveira? He changed, even though it uses the Hatzila, which is referring to her, min Aveira. She has no Aveira here. Right? You're saving him from the Aveira. Rashi's reading is a little strange based on the Lashon. But you can see that Tosus already dealt still with the issue because Lashon HaGemara sounds much more like the problem here is saving from the Aveira. So just to lay out, I'll lay out, then I'll give you some of the nafkaminas, but just interesting thing. One is that when the Gemara says, Einon Shin Min Adin, alright, so that already looks like that we're talking about an onish over here. That's what you asked before. The time about an onish sounds like you're just executing on behalf of Beis Din. He deserves an onish. So you carry out on behalf of Beis Din that onish. Yesterday's daf had a little bit of a feel like that. Also, when we talked about Bab Machteret. Bab Machteret, Rashi, a number of times mentions that he's a inish diktalohu. He's already a dead man, meaning that he's already, this person's already a dead man, or he's deserving of death. He's standing, you know, I mean, that almost like there's an onish that needs to be executed over here. That's one possibility. The other possibility, which means to get into, is that the truth is to save the victim over here. That, by Naram Rasa, sounds to be the most logical reading of Nitan Hatzila bin Nafsho. That would be, you save her with his nefesh. You're saving her with his nefesh, you're protecting her because you're taking his life. That sounds like it's a protection of the victim. The problem is that the Mishnah has, and Tosus points it out, Nitan Hatzilo bin Nafsho, right, that reads well. You can read Pashup Pshat is to save with the life. But if you read the Mishnah does not sound like that, especially when you deal with Avodah Zarah, Shabbos, Behema. It's clear that the prevention is prevention of the Avira. Now, certain Nafkaminot first are going to be, let's talk about, for instance, where the individual says, the person comes along and says, kill me. So you're not allowed to kill him. You're still a Rodef if you're JZF. You kill him, you're not permitted to do it. But he said, kill me. Now, if you think the issue is protecting the victim, The victim has been mafkir nafsho. He doesn't. He's saying, and we're going to see this case in a second. When the Narav Marasa says, "Leave me alone," it's machlokas atonayim. We're going to see this in a second. Whether you have to leave him, whether you're not allowed to intercede or intervene in those cases. So if the victim again says, "Leave me alone," what's the story? Are you allowed to go in and intercede? Now, if it's to prevent the avira, maybe the answer is yes. If it's to protect the victim, maybe no, because the victim already gave permission to the other individual to kill him. Maybe he doesn't have a right to give it, and you still have to...
Right,
so you might be able to, even in that case, protect him. But that's a question that the Minchas Chinuch deals with. That question exactly when there's permission granted. Another question which the Mishnah Lamelech, I think, deals with, and there's a Mishnah Lamelech, is what happens if it's on Shabbos? On Shabbos, in Narav Marasa, someone's chasing after Narav Marasa on Shabbos. Are you permitted now to, right, protect the individual? Are you allowed to kill them? Now again, in prevention of Avera, maybe not. Maybe you're not permitted to be Mechal at the Shabbos to protect. Right, if it's Atzalas Nafshos of the victim, maybe you're allowed to intercede even on Shabbos, because Bikuach Nefesh on Shabbos, right, you should be able to intercede. Again, Mishnah Melech leans in that way, that you could be Mechal Shabbos based on a Rif. But I'm just saying to you there's at least a question, depending on which reason you think. The last one is Kim Levi Rabbi Mine. Is there Kim Levi Rabbi? Will Dave, who's chasing after here, and he kicks over barrels, he does damage on his way to kill the other individual. Not the protector here, but I'm saying the Dave himself is chasing after, and he kicks barrels and he hurts. Is right. Why are you killing? If you're here to protect the victim, right? Maybe he's not. If it's an onish and he's deserving of death now, then it's Kim Levi Rabbi Mine, because he already has a death warrant on him. Basically like that. If it's just protection of the victim, possibly, or preventing him from the Avera, maybe he doesn't have a death warrant. We're just trying to stop him. So again, these will all be nafkaminot between the reasons. I think that you'll see that the Gemara head touches on all of that. You have to create a balance between them. Meaning that you have to create some sort of balance that gives over or takes a piece of each, because you see that the Gemara, even in its Lashon, is touching on multiple aspects or facets here. And because of that, maybe you have to take, it can't just be unilaterally, you can divide it up into these three categories, but you have to maybe combine parts of the three categories to get a solution. Right now, the Gemara says, Gufa, so this is the pasuk we just read, that you have an obligation to save your friend. The Gemara says, since when did we learn it from here? We have another place we learned it from. We learned this in the Gemara in Baba Kama, Baba Metzia. We discussed this. Aveidat kufo min ailin. Meaning that you have a chiyuv, an obligation to return an aveda to your friend. How do you know that only applies to his mamon and not to his guf? Maybe it applies to his guf as well. That's what Gemara says. Enochanami. Aveidat kufo min ailin. Tamalomar veheshevota lo. You have to return it to him. Don't just read it. Veshevoto lo means don't just return the object, his monetary object to him, but veshevoto lo, return him. Take him back. You have to return his guf. So Gemara says that, what do I need a pasuk lo tamono dam reyecha when I have the ability to express it through Hashavas Aveda? Hashavas Aveda means you've got to return his body, just like you have an obligation to take care of his property and bring it back to him, so do we have an obligation to bring his body back to him, to protect his life, give him his life back. That way, that's one thing. So why would have thought from Hashavas Aveda, the obligation of Hashavas Aveda implies that you have to make an effort, meaning that you have to make an exertion of sorts, your body, you go ahead and protect and take care of the property. But aval mitrach umegar agure emalo, I wouldn't think that you have to go now and hire people. Do you have to hire people now to go give an aveda back to someone? Do you have to go spend money or take yourself out? We discussed this in the Gemara Baba Metzia. If you're going to lose more money by taking this aveda, then you will gain by, you know, that this person will gain by giving the aveda back, you don't pick it up. You go to work, because your work is worth more. We don't ask you to give up in order to do that. So I would have thought that was true by Gufo as well. That Gufo is also subject to the same terms. That, Gaveda Gufo, how much do I... So Gemara comes along and says, Lo Tamod Adam Reyacha means, not only are you obligated with your Guf to go out and make an effort to save him, you also might expend money. You have to expend money, you have to make an extended effort to save him. Maybe even at the cost, or cost to you. I mean, that which would not apply by a Shavas Aveda, where we'd say, leave the Aveda and move, do your own thing. Over here we say, no, save the life and don't do your own thing. You have to give up. There's much more expected of you when it comes to a Shavas Aveda of Gufo than that of a Shavas Aveda of Mimono. Alright, so also now, by the way, you also end up with an extra puzzle. You end up actually with an Asay and a Lotase, which is another thing. That Veshavot Olo is the Asay to go ahead and return his body. You know, I mean, that's not say that you must save his life. And then the lotase will be lotamot, lotamrecha. It will also apply a lotase here. So that actually, there is a value to having nasei and a lotase, chutz mizeno. Right, Tan Rabbanan. Echad ha-rodeif achar chavirot ha-harago. Echad ha-zachar, v'achar, I mean, achar ha-zachar, v'achar ne'ara. Hamurasa, v'achar chayavei mito beidim, v'achar chayavei krito matil noton benafsho. So this braita adds two other categories that were not mentioned in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah only had three examples. Mishnah has killing, nara murasa, and homosexuality, sodomizing. Now this Mishnah adds up any arayot that are subject to a chiyuv karet, or subject to a chiyuv mitat beis din. So the Gemara here extends it, any one of these arayot. So amana l'kohen gadol, hushav v'chaluzah l'kohen ejot. In metzilin oton b'nafsho. But when it comes to an almana, to a kohen gadol, or a grusha chulutza to kohen, meaning that the kohen gadol is running after this almana to rape her, we don't stop in this case. Even though he'll make her some psula or a chalala by this, we don't protect her because it's only a chiyuv lav, right, or maybe possibly a say. Over there, we don't get involved, or we don't intercede by taking his life. Okay, so that we'll discuss in a second. Rashi mentioned in the Mishnah because of clone pagam. So that's it. That Narama says the ultimate expression of pagam over here. And then we'll see that in a second why that applies. So nevda ba veira in matzino tabin afshod. This is your question before, David. That if once the crime is perpetrated, you do not kill him anymore. Once the crime is done, we don't prepare it. We don't do it anymore. Again, so in all these cases, it's to save the victim. All right, they have already been victimized. There's nothing more to do in terms of saving the victim. If it's to protect them from stopping from doing the aveira, their aveira is already committed. And you were asking before, which is a possibility, that if it's about an onish, right, the onish hasn't changed. And what I suggested before is that now the onish might have moved from a permission for you to take care of it, might have moved already to due process into the hands of Beis Din, and therefore you can't act on your own anymore.
It's also against the whole concept of mitzino aida, until we kill someone, there are so many procedures. And here you see someone, you don't think twice and you're allowed to kill him.
Right. So that's why I say maybe the combination of others. The onesh here, plus saving the victim, there's an additional value in doing this. All right. Now, yesh la moshia im matzilin oto b'nafsho. So this we won't get to today, but there is. If there is a moshia, meaning that if there's another way to save here, if there's a way to save without taking the life, right, then we don't take his life in order to save him. So that's important that we'll get to tomorrow, which is Achad Me'avirav. If you're able to wound him and not kill him, what's the din? And that's tomorrow's daf. Right, so, yeah, now the last one is Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afo Omer Tein Yicholo Shlo Yargena. He is basically holding her, he has a gun to her head and says, come sleep with me. I'm going to kill you if you don't sleep with me. So the other guy shows up with his gun and says, I'm going to shoot this guy. The woman says, listen, it's better that don't shoot him, put your gun down, because if you shoot him, he's going to shoot me. I don't even know if you're going to, just because you kill him doesn't mean I'm not going to get killed here. She says, I'm too scared, put the gun down. Do we listen to her, or we do not listen to her in this case? So Rabbi Yehuda says, we say, listen, right? Leave him alone so he doesn't kill me. So do we listen to her? Rabbi Yehuda says, yes, we listen to her. Right? The Rabbanan disagree, we'll see why. Menahane mile. How do we know all of these items? So the Gemara is going to go through this braisa and break it down piece by piece. So Amar Kra Ulu Nara Lo Taseh Davar. Don't do anything to Nara. This is the beginning of the pasuk as we quoted before in Kiteitze. Ein La Nara Chet Mavet. So now, Na'ar Zezachur. Na'ar. In the parashah of Na'ar Mursa in Kiteitze in general, the word Na'ara and Na'ar, all the ktivs are Na'ar and all the kris are Na'ara. So that's what the Gemara is doing over here. The Na'ar is not written there. There's no Na'ar, Na'ara. It's just Na'ar, which is the ktiv, and Na'ara, which is the kri. So the Gemara is going to learn Aim la Misoret and Aim la Mikra. And they're going to learn from both of them, both from the Misoret and from the Mikra, about what the din is here. So Na'ar, Zezachur, that's chasing up, means someone's going to sodomize another individual. You can save them with their life. Na'ara, Zunara Marasa. That's a Pashup shot there. Chet, Elu chayavei kritut. When it says chait means elu chayavei kritut, mavet elu chayavei mitot beizdin. So all of these items, you're allowed to protect them with their lives. Kol hani lamali. What do I need all of these items? Why do I need so many categories? Just mention one of them and we'll know all the others. So I said srichi. Yita brachmano na'ar. If you just talk about sodomization, mishum delav orche. That's not the normal way. I mean that the busha and the clone is so extreme in that case. When someone is sodomized, in that case, you're allowed to save him by taking the life of the individual. Aval nara, durcha. All right, yes, in Orachanami there's pgam, in Orachanami there's busha, but not to the extent of the sodomization, therefore maybe you wouldn't have to. So now we come in Ara. Ara, the Urcha, maybe not. Same alo. Vikat Avchana Nara, had it simply talked about an Ara, Mishum Dekal Pogimla. Oh, wait a minute. Now, Ramura says something that is not true of the sodomization case, which is that there's pagam. Pagam is that she now is, and the pagam here is that she, first of all, will lose her betulim, and number two is that she will be ma'us al, her future fiance, you know, her future baal chatan, that it's going to make her a me'usa. So this pagam, she's lost, and in a true sense, she's lost monetary value. I mean, that if a betula, you know, in the ketubah gets more than a bi'ula. So all of these items, she has a serious degradation in value, so standing, social standing, and her relationship with her husband-to-be. All these items affect her, which is not true by this atomization. So maybe we would say over there, you could have run an arama, shoot the kapagim, but an arama, the kapagim, like, over there, there's no pgam, there's tremendous busha and clone, but there's no pgam. So aim alo. So now it says, if the Torah had written both of these two items, then mishum tahay lo v'orchehu ba'kapogim lo. Each one of them has a chumrah. One is that it's love orche, it's tremendous busha. The other one is pegam. Aval shar arayot orchehu. Other arayot, which are, it's the, number one, it's the normal way, it's not a sodomization. And number two, v'lo nafish pigmayu. And the pegam is not so extreme, aim alo. But maybe we'll say no. So what does that mean that the pagam is not extreme? I mean that you can have other arayot, you can have a betula that's involved over here. I mean that a brother and a sister, that's arayot, if you're going to protect them, and the sister could be a betula. And there's no restriction of arayot that you can protect against. So why is, what do you mean there's no pagam? So that's the, Rashi points out on the top, if you say, lo nafish pi gmayu, Rashi writes, it's this top line in Rashi, the second Rashi there, okay, arusa. There's no pgam like arusa, she chaviva v'yala tchein al arus. She has a, there's a special affection and love that is there from the chatan towards the kala, right? V'achsha mitganelav, and mitganel over sin, you know, and that he feels a certain amount of distaste and, pgam that has happened to his beautiful fiance here, or it's kala, that it's a significant begam. Since we're involving not only, it's a unique relationship of the arus and the arusa, right, that creates this sense of tremendous begam. Now, I'm saying, if you don't like what Rashi writes it, the Torah already did this. The Torah did this because what's the punishment for nara marusa? I mean, as opposed to ishit ish. In other instances where the punishment is chenek, the punishment for nara marusa is skila. That's what we've been learning about all along. That the nara, the Torah already says that there's a unique or special relationship between a arus and arusa. That if there's a violation of that relationship, skila. Number one. Number two is, here, we taught that the begam that happens in this instance will be significant because of that. And that Torah already tells us that that relationship is very unique, and because of that, the begam is much higher, and the punishment, or the severity of the punishment is much higher. So what I say is, katav rachmana chait. So therefore, since it could have been, you would have thought, by not, if it was Zachor and Naram Rasa, we wouldn't have learned out the other items, we say chait. Because of rachmana chait, avamina afilu chai ve'lavin. Had it written chait, I would say anything that gets punished. Anything that gets punished, even chai ve'lavin. Katav rachmana movet. The bad sex of mavet, only things that involve death penalty, whether it's death penalty mina shamayim or be bezdin, but it has to be involved with death penalty. Yikad rachmana movet. The Torah simply written in Bavet, Avamina Chayvi Mito Beit Din In, Chayvi Kvito Lo. I thought, okay, this, if it's severe enough to get a Chiyuv Basis Basin, then yes. But Karet, maybe not. Katav Rachmana Chait. So therefore I wrote Chait to balance that out. So Gemara says, okay, let me solve your problem. Lichtov, Rachmana Chait, and Mavet. If you just wrote Chait and Mavet, then we would know all you need to know. And you could, of course, not Rav Murasan, Zachor, of course, you would know from that. Flo by Nar, Vinara. And you won't need Narana. Gemara says, Enochanami. You're right. But the Torah didn't do that. You could have. Had you had just chait and mavet, it would have worked. I would just answer that you're in the parsha of nara marasa, where it's written, and therefore it's a given that nara marasa is going to be mentioned there, and you have nara v'nara, so that's why. Oh, nara v'nara. So what are you going to do with nara v'nara now? The Gemara says, "Eino chanami, we call it not a chait and mavet, so what do I need nara v'nara for? If it's not for zachor, if it's not for nara marasa, chad l'me'ute oved avodat kochavim. One is to exclude the case of Avodah Zarah. V'chad l'me'ute behema v'shabbos. The other one is to exclude the cases of behema and Shabbos. Alright, now what is the havamina? Now we know the havamina by Avodah Zarah is, right, those are one of the mitzvahs of Yarag v'al Yavor. It's one of the cardinal sins. Now, by Shabbos, we're going to see in a second what the Havamina is by Shabbos. Behema really is just a Gav Grara was brought down here. But Shabbos, what's the Havamina? That by Shabbos, you also need Tanatzil B'Nafsho. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Rabbi Shashmi says, Rabbi Shimon says that you are. Here's a Tano who disagrees with our Tano. Says that you can take Itan Natsilo bin Afsho when it comes to Avodah Zarah, you can save him. Here it's clearly you're saving him from the Avera. You can take his life for Avodah Zarah, Lomoli. So now what I need two exclusions for us. Chadei mutei behema, chadei mutei Shabbos. One is exclude behema, one is exclude Shabbos. Saka datcha, I mean, I would have thought Tete Shabbos michilu chilum avdat chokhovim. I would have thought to learn out Shabbos, chilul, chilul, me'avodot chachamim, which we're going to see in a second. That's exactly what Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon does. To Rabbi Sir, Rabbi Shimon, Amar, mechalalot ha-Shabbat, nitam latzilo b'nafsho. That a person is mechal Shabbos, you can save him with his life. Again, saving him is here from the Aveira. That's just Shabbos, chilul, chilul, me'avodot chachamim. You can learn out Shabbos, chilul, chilul, me'avodot chachamim. So what, just like by Mechalel Shabbos, it's by Mechalel Avodah Zorah, it says that you do take his life. So to over here by Shabbos, it says Mechalel Shabbos, you're going to take his life. Alright, so now he has Chilo Chilo. So that's the Havamina. So again, the reason we have to exclude Shabbos over here is because you would have a Havamina to include it because of Avodah Zorah. It makes it a little harder for the Tanakhama. Why do I have to exclude Shabbos according to the Tanakhama? Okay, good. I've excluded Avodah Zarah. Once I've excluded Avodah Zarah, I've automatically excluded Shabbos. Because Shabbos is only a derivative of Avodah Zarah. So how come before we said one was to, for our Tanakhama, or for our Tanakhama, I'm saying, we said that one is to exclude Avodah Zarah, and then one is to exclude Shabbos. By excluding Avodah Zarah, you automatically exclude Shabbos. Because the only way you know that Shabbos would be the case is because it's built on Avodah Zarah. Chilu chilu me Avodah Zarah. So Tosis asks this question about how could it be? He doesn't really. He says. Yesh lamar mekom mekom sarach adatcha the gzeirat hakotuv k'rav Elazar b'Rav Shimon. Maybe there's some sort of gzeirat hakotuv that Shabbos is included, even though there's no avodah zarah that's included. Here we're doing it through a logical argument. Over here he wants to suggest that there might be a gzeirat hakotuv that's involved. So because of that, maybe Shabbos you would have to exclude Shabbos. All right, it's just I will leave it as an open issue, just to raise your awareness to it. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, who includes everything, Ma'ika leMeimar, what's the exclusions for us? And where it says Chad Mi'ut leMi'utei Behema, one comes to exclude Behema. Since the puzzle wrote Naro, Naro, I mean that there are many other cases there of Nara, Nara, many other Kri and Ktivs over there. So we're not going to make a big deal out of the Kri and the Ktiv over here. So it just says Nar, let's not worry about it. Nar, Nara, it's all one, it's one picture. Either you're going to die and down, aim, let me sorrow, aim, let me cry, you'll only learn one of those two items. Right now, the Mishnah says, Brighta said, Rabbi Yudo Meir, Afo Merit, Henicholo, Shalay Yargeno. Yudo says, if she says, leave me alone, but then we listen to her. Why do we do that? Am I communicating? What are the arguments? I mean, obviously the Tanakhama or the Chachamim disagree. So what are the arguments? Amar Rava memakpedet al pigma umneichato shlo yargena. So there, we're worried about here. Makpedet al pigma. She is worried about the pigam, right? But umneichato. But he says, don't, you know, kill me. I'm afraid because of the. He's going to kill me. So Rabbanan savrei al pigma kopid rachmono. That the Torah focuses on the Pegama. How do I know the Torah focuses on Pegama or the Pegam over here? How do I know the Torah focuses on that? Because what are the examples that the Torah picked? In terms of what is Chayav to save, where are you permitted to take the person's life? Cases are Nara Marasa, right? And the other cases that we have, they don't include Shabbos, they don't include Avodah Zarah. So if that's the case, it's clear that the Torah is focused on Pegam and not simply on the Avera or the severity of the Avera over here. If that's the case, Rabbanan say the Pegam is still a problem over here, and she's worried about her Pegam. She's too scared to deal with it because of the Avera. So we'll step in and we'll act on her behalf to protect her. Rabbi Yehuda, hi, the Kama Rachmana Kadle Mishum Damasra Nafsha L'Ktalo. No, Rabbi Yehuda says the reason that we say come in and save her life here is because we're afraid that she will give up her life. Even though she's not necessarily obligated to give up her life, which is the subject of tomorrow's daf, whether she has to actually give up her life. So now, we know in this case, she's not going to give up her life. It's very similar to the Gemara in the beginning, Ketubot, over there about the Hegmon Balayir. Over there it says, Mishum, Gzera Mishum, Prutzot, Mishum Tznuot. Over there, Gzera Mishum Tznuot is that we're afraid that these women will give up their lives. That they're Tznuim, even though maybe they're not obligated to give up their lives. Nevertheless, they will give up their lives because They'll give up their lives because they think that, or they're not willing to give in to this person. So that's the same thing we hear. Now Rav Muraz said, we're going to think these women are going to give their lives up. They're going to be willing to lose their lives rather than sleep with this individual. So we step in to protect them. We step in to stop that. But in this case, what she's telling you, she's clearly not going to give up her life. And she's, you know, saying, I'm too scared, but I know that I'm going to let him do this because I don't want to lose my life. Then over there, maybe we shouldn't step in. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Well, according to you, or according to the logic of the Chachamim, by Namala Kohen Gadol, there's also a Begam. So he says, there are different levels of Begam here. So truthfully, there are actually three levels of Begam. There's one level of Begam, which is Amanala Kohen Gadol, which is the lowest form of Begam. There the Torah doesn't intercede or tell you to intervene. There's another level of Begam, which is the Arayot. And there's a third level of Begam, which is that of an Aram Rasa. In that Aram Rasa is the highest form of Begam, and that's why the Torah speaks about it there, and that's why we had a Havamina. If we talked about an Aram Rasa, we wouldn't include other Arayot. The regular Arayot that involve Begam, not as high as an Aram Rasa, but they still involve Begam. There's Amanala Kohen Gadol, which is a lower form. It's Chalala, makes her into a Chalala, but not that, that form of Begam is lower than the form of Begam that's involved with Arayot and with the Aram Rasa. So the Torah only allows you, or gives permission to kill the perpetrator when it's Begam Gadol, like an Aram Rasa, or middle level Begam, which is Arayot, but the low level Begam, they do not permit over here. So now the Gemara says, Chet Elu Chayavei Kritot. V'yaminu, ve'elu narot sheyesh lehem knas. These are narot that get a knas. I mean, this is a case of me'anes, case of rape. In the case of rape, where is there a knas? When do you have a knas? Abal achoto, someone who sleeps with their sister. Even though it's arayot, nevertheless, you still get the knas. You still get the fine that is paid with it. So amru rabbanan kamei rav chista mishat ara de pgama iftar lami ektala mona lo mashalem ad gmar bia. So this is the case, or the thinking over here, is that this individual goes to rape a woman. He's a bar ktala. He has a death warrant on his head. He has a death warrant on his head. He's not chayav for the mamon in that case. So that's what they're asking here. Wait, if he's me'anes zachoto, it's a case of ayot, you're allowed to save him by taking his life. You're allowed to save the victim by taking this individual, the perpetrator of the crime's life. Then he should be patur for the mamon, just like Baba Mamachteret. Baba Mamachteret is patur for the mamon because he's going to lose his life. So same thing over here. So they answer, they said over here, no, mishat ha'ara'a, when it comes to hara'a, the pagma, over there the pagam's already done, iftar la miktala, he's no longer has a death warrant on him. We said that before in the Braisa, that once the crime is committed, you can no longer take his life. So already from the moment of ha'ara'a, the pagam's already created. Mimona lo mishalim ad gmar miyah, when it comes to paying the knas is only paid at the gmar miyah point. So his chiyuv for the knas happens after the death warrant on his head is already gone. Tanicha, the Gemara says, "Naman da'amar ha'ara zu nishika." That works well according to the one who says ha'ara is nishika, because at that point, once he does ha'ara is nishika, then already he is in violation. He's done with the act. The begam has already happened. The man da'amar ha'ara zu achnasat atara. The other one who says ha'ara is already achnasat atara, ma'ika l'meimar. Then what are you going to say? That's already qualified or is classified as a gemar bita bia. So if we look in Rashi when he says mishum ha'ara. So Karilei Niv'ala Vav Gima B'Miktas. Even though he hasn't been Meisir Hir B'Tuleha, nevertheless, when already you do this Hara, he already, she's called a Niv'ala, and the Begam's already happened. B'Shuv Ein Matzino Ta Migmar B'Yah B'Nafsho. And he's still there, you don't save him anyway's life. B'Kanzala Michayvel Mishum Gmar B'Yah Shum Matzib B'Tuleha. That's dependent on the Bitulim. Right, so now, the Kra, by the Knas, is Makpid on the Bitulim. Right, but so that's Gemar Bina over here is not literally Gemar Bina, which means Shichvat Zera necessarily, but Gemar Bina is the Asarat Bitulim. So Rashi separates that the Knas for rape is premised on the Bitulim, the Asarat Bitulim, and the Begam is simply that she's classified as a Nivala, that she's classified as being already slept with, not with the fact that she is Meser Bitulim. So that's the answer here. The answer is if it works that Haraz Nishika, then she's considered Nivala already before her Bitulim were taken out. Her Bitulim are taken out after already the crime's already committed, and therefore he's Chayav for the Knas. But that only works according to one who says that Harazu Nishika. But if you say Harazu Achnas Atara, that means that the crime is committing at the same time that the Knas is becoming Chayav, because the Nakat Atara is going to be Mesirik Bitulim. Now you can sleep with her Shloka Darka, which makes her a Nivala. And then afterwards he sleeps with her the normal way. So the pgam already happened when he slept with her. She becomes a niv'ala when he does it shlo kedarka. And then he comes and sleeps with her kedarka and meiser betulim. That's when the kanas is chayav. Rav Amar, b'minichato shlo yer gena. It's a case of Rav Yehuda. It's a case of Rav Yehuda where she says, don't take his life. Leave him alone. He's going to kill me. Leave him alone. So in that case, doesn't have a death warrant on his head. That's where he's going to be chayav kanas. And Rav Papa Amar, b'mifuta v'divri akol. She was seduced. And it's going to a divri akol because a mifuta does get kanas. But of course, there's no death penalty there because you can't come. She's not makpid on her own begam. You're not going to be makpid for her. We're not going to kill him in a case of seduction. This is the case we'll get to tomorrow. It's a case where you could have saved him by not taking his life. If you can save or stop the act or the crime without taking his life, then he's not a bar katalahu. If he's not a bar katalahu, then he'll be chayav for the knas. Okay, that's the explanation here. He gave all these different ways to come up with a case where you'll have kanas by case of rape, even though he has a death warrant on his head. We have to either explain a number of cases where he doesn't have a death warrant. It's Rabbi Yehuda, where she says, leave him alone. Case where it's mifutah, she was seduced. So therefore, there's no death penalty involved over here. Or you could have saved him by not killing him. Or we have the original explanation of Rav Huna and Rav Chista, or Rav Chista, which is that Shlo Kedark and Kedarko, or the original explanation of the Rabbanon, that it's a case of there's a difference between when you become Chayav for, or the Ktala, when the Pekam happens, versus when the Betulim come out, which are Mechayev the Knas. Tosus over here explains that it takes a little issue with Rashi's explanation. The reason that you don't pay in the beginning is because kimle rabbi, therefore you don't pay until the end. In the beginning, you are a chaya mita, therefore it's a kimle rabbi, and you don't pay. But in the gemar bia, you will pay. In general, you'll pay the knas from the beginning. So it gives two answers about why over here it's different. One is that maybe not. Maybe in general, that hara is enough to be considered gemar biyah by all arayot, and so to hear for knas. Our case is an exception because of kimlei derabim mine. So therefore, you have to wait until gemar biyah, and hara is not enough. So therefore, you only chayav the knas later on. On the other hand, the other possibility is that Tos says that hara, we learn in the seder arayot, that hara is like gemar biyah, that's only in doing the arayot itself. That's nothing to do with rape or knas. Knas has to do with Gemar Biyah, like the regular, like you were fought in any case. This limud and hara is like Gemar Biyah, is only about arayot and about perpetrating crimes. It's not about the knas that you become chayav. Knas chayav is Gemar Biyah. So those separates between the knas and the hara, and either says, enoch anami, you would be chayav knas and hara. Our case is exceptional because of kimelei derabim mineh, or the other possibility, you're right, by knas, there is no din of hara. It's only by Gemar Biyah, you're chayav, but hara is something that is unique to Arayot and doesn't apply to Knesset. Okay, we'll stop over here.